The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. Let me take just a moment and make this announcement. You can find us now on sermonaudio.com. Search Truths to Live By, and the Lord willing, you will find most of our messages posted there every week when we upload another message. You can download them, listen to them later, subscribe to the podcast. So to God be the glory. Keep us in your prayers, and remember, the word of the Lord gives us truths to live by. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we want to continue looking at a church perfectly joined together. We have looked into 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and we saw words that should command their attention before God. Today, beginning with verse 4, we see words that should command their affection before Christ. Paul now aims to bring their affection, their heart's desire into focus, and so attach the believers unto the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. For He has been so very faithful and gracious to the church at Corinth. So now for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it is in Jesus' name I pray. I ask for your blessing upon your word. I pray you would speak to the hearts of your people. Draw sinners and saints alike unto yourself, that those who do not know you may be born again, and those who are saved may be revived and quickened in these days to fear you more, to honor you more, to serve you more, to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Have you found 1 Corinthians 1? Look with me to verse number 4. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the fruitfulness of the church highlighted in verses 4 through 8. Verse number 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 9, the faithfulness of the Lord is highlighted. Now, as we consider the fruitfulness of the church at Corinth, we are going to see several visible evidences of a spiritual work among the saints. The memory of God moving among these Corinthian believers stirs the apostle to give thanks in their behalf. I thank my God always on your behalf, writes Paul in verse number 4. God had been gracious unto them. In verse 4, he was gracious to the church in saving grace. In verse 5, he was gracious to these believers in spiritual gifts. But first, I thank my God, the memory of God's grace. As Paul remembered the grace of God among the Corinthians, it brought thanks to his heart. What about you? What about me? When we consider the goodness and the grace of God within our lives, does it not bring forth thanksgiving? I say that it should, and I pray that it does. But then Paul, he lived his life in a continual overflow of thanksgiving. He went before the throne of grace. He represented the many believers, and yes, these in Corinth, carnal as they were, Paul found reason to give thanks to God. Will you be that one who goes to God in behalf of the congregation and assembly of saints to which you belong and simply say thank you in the behalf of your church? But then the majesty of God's grace. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. This grace of God is majestic because it belongs to God. Paul gives thanks for that which is divine and eternal, even the grace of God. Its work is accomplished within the heart and seen in the life. It reaches and redeems. The divine influence of God's grace upon the lives of sinners, making them saints. It is bestowed upon man, which is given you. God's unmerited favor, his riches and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We did nothing to earn nor deserve God's grace. It is freely, fully from him for man. It is, as one man said, everything for nothing. But then this grace of God, majestic as it is, belonging to God, bestowed upon men, is brought by Jesus Christ. We think about the coming and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. With this came grace and truth. John 1, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. We find here then dispensational truth. The age of grace was ushered in with Jesus Christ. God now deals with men in terms of grace and patience rather than law and punishment. Oh, he will by no means clear the guilty, and yes, he will punish sin. But for now, in grace, he convicts the heart of the unsaved. He stays the hand of judgment. He offers a free and full pardon by his own saving power and saving grace, even justification, full redemption by the grace of God, not of works, but by grace through faith. And then the spiritual gifts. The Corinthian church was a gifted church, that in everything, verse 5, ye are enriched by him. And so in terms of saving grace, they had been blessed. But now in terms of spiritual gifts, yea, in everything, This church had been enriched by Christ, and that which was their glory and their grace later became their peril and their pride, and thus they were carnal and contentious and confused and conceited and in need of revival. And becoming proud and self-inflated, they soon began to lean on their own strength, wisdom, and spirituality. However, Paul does commend them here, for they had been richly blessed in terms of spiritual abilities and opportunities. The same thought is expressed in the second epistle, chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. But they were also a gifted church in particular. He says in verse 5, they were enriched in all utterance and in all knowledge. Two gifts specifically. Now these gifts were within the church, those gifted as speakers the word of God. God had given them the gift of utterance, the gift of standing, speaking forth the word. There were those who had been greatly instructed by the Lord. When they had first believed and embraced the message of Christ, God had given them insight, understanding, and knowledge of the doctrines of the word. And as you study both of Paul's epistles, it would be hard to find a spiritual gift not present among them. God had been gracious unto them. And so we'll leave off our study here today, and we will give you a forecast the next time we're together. We'll look beginning with verse 6 down through verse 8, and that God had been generous unto them. But friend, how long has it been since you personally gave thanks to God? Has he not been gracious to you? I know he has been gracious to me. So with uplifted hands and uplifted heart, I bless the name of the Lord and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, for he does all things well, and he has been gracious unto me. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.